It's Magneto Mel issuing clearances you can understand. This is Push to Talk on EAA Radio.
And welcome back to Push to Talk. I am Magneto Mel, and now I am joined by Kenneth DeHoff. Did I say that right?
You did. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha. Okay, because you are with the Pacific Aviation Museum, Pearl Harbor. So, aloha from Hawaii. Did you come all the way over here?
Right in the middle of Pearl Harbor on an island called Ford Island that has a brand new aviation museum. We opened in 2006. We had about 7 airplanes when we opened, and we're up to 26 now.
And what is it all about? What is the museum all about?
Well, we could start with December 7th, 1941,
right,
which is where the surprise attack occurred on the United States, sank the USS Arizona. Or we could start back further and go to Amelia Earhart and talk about Amelia Earhart ground looping on Ford Island in 1937.
Let's start with that.
Or we can go back to Pan Am and Pan Am's first flight into the Pacific, landed right next to Ford Island also in 1936. So we've got quite a history.
Pearl Harbor has an aviation history long before the famous or infamous date of December 7th, 1941.
Well, great. Let's start with that. December 7th, 1941, a surprise attack on Pearl Harbor, on Hickam Air Force Base, on Wheeler Army Air Force Base, Army Air Corps Base at that time, and 3 other airfields on the island of Oahu. We lost about 188 airplanes and sank 17 Navy ships, destroyed damaged another 158 airplanes. And we're in the process of recovering some of those, restoring some of those. Latest airplane that we just got, in fact, for you Navy guys will really enjoy this. We've got the last built and the last flown A3 Sky Warrior, which is called the Whale. Biggest airplane that ever landed on an aircraft carrier, I think. And we just flew that from Van Nuys Airport to North Island, and we're just waiting now.
My home field right there.
We're waiting for an opportunity lift from the Navy to bring that over to Pearl Harbor and drop it into the Pacific Aviation Museum.
So that's what the museum largely displays is recovered aviation, recovered ships, or what else?
Just all we're about is aviation.
But the
great part about Pearl Harbor, and you know, nobody goes to all the way to Honolulu just to see an aviation museum. And historically, folks have come and seen the USS Arizona, which is now called the World War II Valor in the Pacific Memorial. It's run by the National Park Service. And 2 years before that, we had the USS Oklahoma Memorial built. And so we've got the USS Oklahoma, the USS Utah, as well as the USS Arizona, right in an area that we call the Pearl Harbor Historic Sites. And we have a partnership together with those organizations and work with the National Park Service and with the Navy to bring people onto Ford Island, to show them the Missouri, to show them the Pacific Aviation Museum. The Aviation Museum is in a construction project right now, rebuilding the Ford Island Control Tower. Did you see the movie Pearl Harbor?
I haven't.
And I haven't seen Ben Affleck then buzz the tower.
Right.
That tower is part of the museum. 158 feet high. It was built in 1940, 41, 42, and it hasn't had any work done on it since the 1960s. And so we've got about a $7 million project working to restore that tower. We'll put the elevator back in, and people will be able to come out and go up to the top of that tower and 158 feet up and kind of have our own Eiffel Tower of Hawaii.
Well, and how long have you been there?
I've been there now for 5 years.
And how long has the museum been?
Museum has been open for 5 years.
Okay,
It's taken us 10 years. We started this museum in 2001, and we raised $12 million, built the first hangar, restored the first hangar. We've got 3 hangars on 17 acres along Ford Island and the airfield. And we've got 2 more hangars to rebuild. And as I said, we've got 26 airplanes, and we've got a goal of 100. to put in. And most of the airplanes, that a lot of the ones that we see here on the field, the P-38 I desperately need, they're hard to come by. Hellcats are hard to come by. Corsairs are not as hard to come by, but they're equally as important and valuable. And we're really looking forward to having those airplanes show up at the museum. We're also, given that we have the National Park right alongside with us, we see about 180,000 people a year in our visitors. So far, we've had almost 700,000 visitors come to the museum, which is pretty good for a brand new museum.
And now I know this year is important here at EAA. They, you know, we've got a lot of centennials going on with 1911. We've got the 100 year of the transcontinental flight of Cal Rogers, and we've got the 100 year of naval in aviation. So that's probably a big.
And we have the 70th year of the attack on Pearl Harbor. So that's again pretty important day in Honolulu.
So we got a lot of celebrations going on here.
We do. And so the year for us is one of a lot of celebrations. We just had the Centennial of Naval Aviation Honorary Dinner in our museum for Hawaii. Had 350 naval aviators, which include Navy pilots, Marine pilots, Coast Guard pilots, NASA pilots. They all have gold wings and are trained through the Naval Aviation System. And so we had the commander of the Pacific Fleet, which is Admiral Walsh, came out and spoke to us. Our chairman of the board is Admiral Ron Hayes, and he's a celebrated aviator in the Navy. And so, again, we have a lot of celebrities that come out from the Navy and enjoy what we're doing at the museum also.
And you talked a little bit about some things that predate the centennial, predate 1941. And, you know, what have you got at the museum that to display that, the ground looping of Amelia Earhart? How do you?
Great. Just this past Sunday, in fact, was Amelia Earhart's 114th birthday. And we just had a birthday party for her, and we had about 500 people in the museum just for that event, of where she ground looped her Lockheed Electra 10E and had to pack it up and ship it back to...
Probably not the best thing to be known for, but...
it's probably not. And then, you know, she was flying from east to west in that first leg when she flew Oakland to Honolulu, and then she refueled on Foral Island and took off was going to take off and continue to head westbound. That airplane got shipped back, and Lockheed repaired it, and she flew it to Miami and took off on an eastbound trip. And she disappeared on July 2nd, 1937, never to be heard from again.
Yeah, so maybe one of these days she'll show up to one of your birthday parties.
Oh, I hope so. That would be something. And then again, the 75th anniversary of passenger flight for Pan Am. Pan Am was important because they actually built the routes across the Pacific.
They were very pioneering in aviation.
Juan Tripp was an absolute genius in building an airline back when there were no airlines. And that lasted until 1991 when Pan Am went out of business. But we have quite an association of folks from Pan Am and Hawaii. And every time somebody comes to visit the museum, they want to come in and see what Pan Am contributed to early aviation.
They had a lot to do with air traffic control as well.
Well, they did.
They put all the radios in the towers in 1933.
How's your Morse code? Because everything then was done through Morse code. So did dot, and if you didn't know that, you didn't work for Pan Am, frankly.
Yeah, I know. We started with the semaphores before they used the radios, and I think it was in 1933 Pan Am was the first airline to fully have radio communications going on for air traffic control.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So
we're pretty excited. We have a board of directors, about 34 members. We have a capital campaign that's going on. We need to raise money to restore the couple more hangars that we've got and acquire a few more airplanes. And then continue to attract visitors to come to Honolulu and enjoy our 80-degree
Not quite the same weather as here, huh?
80 degrees, 80% clear skies.
Pretty humid, but a little bit different.
My Twitter name is Blue Skies Hawaii. And, you know, it's great to be able to have 80 miles of visibility almost every day.
Yeah, yeah. I'm in California. We're not too bad there, but not quite the same as Hawaii. But
that's right.
At least it's not quite. Looks like it's clearing up here, though. That's a good thing.
It always clears up here. You know, I've been coming here for 23 years, and this is absolutely, we call it the Mecca of aviation.
Yeah, we do too. Yeah, it is. It literally is.
It's been a love for every aviator that gets here and has an opportunity to see what we're doing.
Or anything. So
we're really excited to participate in this. Thanks so much for the time to talk about the Aviation Museum.
Do you have any presence on the field at all? Or if you don't, then is there a website or something that people
website,
can go to?
There's a website, www.pacificaviationmuseum.org. We've got, you can find us on Twitter, you can find us on Facebook. We've got lots of photos that are available out on Flickr also, if you want to take a look at that. And you'll see what we're doing here on Twitter here real quick.
Great. Well, this has been Kenneth DeHoff, and it's the Pacific Aviation Museum, Pearl Harbor.
Great.
Is that right?
In Honolulu, Hawaii.
In Honolulu, Hawaii. So, yeah, maybe one of these times we can have a fly-in there and everybody can come check it out in Hawaii.
Great. So. Aloha.
Thank you so much for being with us. You are listening to Push to Talk with Magneto Mel on EAA Radio 93.3 FM and EAARadio.net.